Today's a special day. Today is a day like no other days, because this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to be exceedingly glad. And I'm going to be excited because all of a sudden, this week, I've realized something that I don't think I've ever realized before. I said to someone, you know, I want to share with you something maybe you've never heard before, or else you'll hear it again for the first time. What's a gift? What's a gift? If you could think about the very best gift that you could give someone, what would you give them? Give them Jesus Christ. Now, if you were Jesus Christ, what's the very best gift that someone could give you? One of the most amazing things that I dare say I never would have dreamed of, but the greatest gift that the Father, well, He gave Him Holy Spirit, when Jesus was here. Jesus was obedient, even to the death on the cross. Jesus died, lowered into the grave, and He rose on the third day. That was the beginning of His glory. But how could it be fulfilled? How could that glory, what gift could the Father, the Heavenly Father, give to His Son Jesus? And the amazing gift that we see is the gift of the revelation. I've never thought about the revelation being a gift. When I begin to think about the revelation of being the revelation, I see dragons, I see seals, I see trumpets, I see disaster, I see millions of people being slaughtered, millions of people being killed, but that's what I saw. But what did God say? This is what God saw. God said, I looked down upon my Son, and I said to my Son, yes, the resurrection was glory. Yes, your life was glory. But let me give you the rest of the story. And when He gave to him the gift of the revelation, then all these things came together. And Jesus could see His glory become in fullness. Now, when you begin to look at that, there's something else that we want to see. The revelation is the key to the whole Bible. I mean, I've always said, well, that's just the end of the book. That's the last story. When you understand, and you will over the next 2 years, okay? And when you understand the revelation, you will understand many of the hidden secrets of the Bible. And they're not hidden. They're made light. They are unveiled. But how are they unveiled? They're unveiled by a gift. A gift that God the Father gave to Jesus the Son in showing Him that trail of glory, how it all comes together. Now, we're living in a day and a period of time in which sometimes we think that a church ought to be therapeutical. In other words, I've got a hurt here, preacher. Help me out here. Or I've got an ache here. You know what? One of the things I've learned, when you're reaching up to 40, you're building all the way up to 40. But after you reach 40, you're repairing the rest of the way. Okay? In fact, something else I've learned also too. I've also learned that my aches and pains, they chase each other. They do. One will say, let's go to the back. And then he'll stay there, and then another will say, let's go to the foot. And they're not the same place all the time. They chase each other. They like that. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in our life that kind of chase us around. But one of the things, when we come to church, is we tend to think, okay, let's hopefully when we leave here feel good. But you know what? Chuck Colson said something in an article this week. Chuck Colson with the prison ministry. If you remember, Chuck Colson was in prison at the Watergate. But Chuck Colson said this. He said in his new book of faith, The Prison Fellowship, he said, America, that many Christians in America are ignorant of their own faith. He says, radical Muslims have a better understanding of their faith than most Christians have of Christianity. He goes on to say, we're so much at peace with this culture, we're so affluent, we really don't hear the radical message of the gospel. We hear a therapy in the church. We don't hear the truth. We don't hear a truth that is counterculture. We're not called and summoned by the church to stand courageously and boldly to defend what we believe. Most of us don't know what we believe. In another place, he said, orthodoxy is a bad word to use because people think it's backwards, but it's not. It doesn't. It means going to the pure truth. It's radical in the sense that it is building on the teachings of the apostles directly given to the councils who were writing the Bible in the first centuries. And in this article, he goes on to say, is your faith makes a difference today. And he talks about pro-choice, who we select as a president. When we start talking about pro-choice, when we start talking about being against abortion, listen, folks, that can make the difference of who you might vote and who you might not vote for. Because he says, what you believe should impact every area of your life. Now, that leads us into the revelation, because inside of the revelation, many people have tried to color it and make it dark and say, don't read it. But what's happening is we need to come back and get a pure dose of God's Word. And when you get a pure dose of God's Word, like the guy said in the video, you ought to be afraid. Fact is, you ought to be afraid. And some will say, well, I'm going to go out by the rapture. Yeah, I know, the church is going to be going out by the rapture. But what's leading up to the rapture? What's leading up to that point? We're not told that. What's setting the scene for that? We're not told that. So are you ready? Yes. Are you looking for? Yes. So God gives to us this great gift. It's called the revelation. And that's the reason why I share with you. We're not in any hurry in this book. The book begins like this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. We look at the gift of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. For the time is at hand. So the revelation, I want you to kind of capture this before I move into here. When we see the book of the Revelation is a gift, look in verse 1 again where it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. That's where we get this message from. Which God gave unto him. Now, in light of this, we see that Jesus is outlining the events in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. The Bible says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put all, when he shall have put down all rule, and all authority, and all power. So when he puts it all down, when it all comes beneath, then when it's all said and done, then Jesus is going to turn around and say, Father, here it is to you. I offer a complete to you a work so that God will be all in all. So this gift now, this gift that comes to us, it's unlocking these secrets of the ages. And the theme of the book is found in the first few words where it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. the revelation. Now, what we're talking about here is he wants us to capture the big picture. And what is the big picture? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We see God in power, in authority, creating. And then the last verse is found in Revelation 22, 21. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." From the creation of the world to the end of the revelation, it's God's grace. And He's offering to us a very special gift. Oh, we have Jesus. Revelation. It's the key to 66 books of the Bible. It's the key to 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. It's the key to at least 40 writers who wrote over a period of 1,400 years. It's the key that brings about a consistent system of doctrine and ordinances. It's the key in which has been translated into 293 languages, 618 additional languages in the New Testament, and over 918 more languages. So we see almost 1,000 languages has this book right here, the Bible, been translated so that the world might know. But the world needs to know, what is the key? How do you understand it? How does it all make sense? How does it all come together? It all comes when you see the revelation as a gift. God, the Father to Christ, the Son. Now, develop this just for a moment. Some have tried to color the book of the Revelation with markers so that no one will attempt to understand. If I were to ask you right now this question, do you understand the Revelation? Some would say yes, and some would say, man, no, there's stuff in there, I just don't get it. And so therefore, many people say, because I don't understand it, I'm not going to read it. They try to color it. I mean, the intellectia. H.G. Wells wrote in the book, The Fate of Man, he said, "Who but cranks and lunatics read the Revelation?" We don't understand it. But what did God say do? In this gift that He gave to His Son, Jesus, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in there, for the time is at hand." Why in the world would somebody tell you not to receive a blessing? I'll tell you why. Because many of them aren't saved. Many of them have no clue of what God wants us to enjoy in this book. So some of them say, well, you can't understand it, so don't read it. Others will try to color the picture by saying it's just a historical book. It was written regarding encouraging those people back in the days of Nero. Nero was the Roman emperor. He was a Roman emperor who led a persecution against the church. In Rome, Nero wanted to build this fantastic, wonderful castle, this large city. He wanted this throne. He wanted to, with all of its grandeur, but he had a problem. Rome had already been built. So what did he do? He set fire to Rome, and he burned Rome down. Now, the feedback on that, they would have done many bad things to Nero. So what did Nero do? Nero turned around, and he blamed it on the Christians. Even so much, the persecution was so strong, it was during this period of time that Paul was beheaded. It was during this period of time that Simon Peter was crucified. It was during this period of time in which they took Christians and they dipped them in tar. They stuck them on a pole and they lit the tar, and these human Christians became torches. And Nero rode through the city like a madman in the light of these human torches. And so some would say this book is a historical reference about encouraging the people during that period of time. Others come along, though, and they try to color this book by making it some type of an allegory. In other words, an allegory, they say, well, this means that and this means that, in so much that they can make the revelation mean anything they want to make it. Many of them, they will say, well, here is the Nazis. Here's Hitler. Here's Mussolini. Even some said, here's Henry Kissinger. They did all of these types of things by making it an allegory, by making it a story. Not pure truth, but just a symbolic story. Well, how should one take the revelation? Not as something that colored that you can't understand. Not as history that has gone by, and so therefore you don't have to read it. In fact, those who stand strong by the historical reference, many of them are the Roman Catholic theologians. Because many of the Roman Catholic theologians know that found in the text that it talks about Rome being where the great whore is going to come from. And it's in that text, it will talk about how that the beast and all of these, this power is going to come out from Rome. And they said, no, no, Rome. And so therefore they say it's historical reference. It doesn't mean anything for us today. But I'm under the belief that what we have here in the Scripture is futuristic. I believe the events of the Revelation have not taken place. One day, a temple is going to be built on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem, and the people are going to go there and offer sacrifices. One day, the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and the kings of the earth are going to be destroyed. One day, the seal is going to be broken, and the title deed of the earth is going to be unsealed into the hands of the authority of Jesus Christ. One day, 144,000 Jewish preachers are going to be released on this world, and the Jews are going to receive Jesus as the Messiah. One day, there's going to be a 7-year period in which the world has never seen the tribulation like it is. It's going to be broken in 2 3.5-year segments. One day, the great red dragon, which is Satan, is going to be revealed in his true colors, and he is going to be defeated. One day, Rome is going to be the satanic federation of nations out of the old Roman Empire. One day, 10 powers will combine to make the federation of this nation of the new Rome. One day, the blood will flow up to the bridles of the horses with scene of wrath and carnage in Palestine in the Valley of Megiddo. One day, Christ will ride in on a white horse, and 10,000s and thousands of his saints will be riding with him. One day, the believers will join in the marriage feast of the Lamb. One day, Satan is going to be bound and judged, and he will be cast into the lake of fire that will burn forever and ever. One day, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One day, we will walk on the streets of gold. One day, one day, one day. And it will be very soon. One day. When will that hour be? No one knows that hour. Mark chapter 13, verse 32, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. He knows. The Father sent a gift to the Son. And what is this gift? This gift is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The Apocalypse, Jesus Christus. That's it. The Apocalypse, Jesus Christus. That is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Apocalypse is a Greek word that is with a verb and a preposition, which means apo. Apo, meaning away from. Kalupto means to cover, to hide, and conceal. So apokalupto is a Greek word which means to take away the covering, to unveil, to reveal. So that's what the gift of the Father is doing for us today. He is unveiling, he is uncovering the presentation and the majesty of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, the object of this unveiling is Christ Jesus. He is the object. And I want you to see it because it unlocks different doors found throughout the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus." What was that? Waiting for the Apocalypsis Jesus Christu. You see, the object is the coming of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe." When is that? "He shall come" are the same words. The Apocalypsis Jesus Christu. When he shall come, when he shall be unveiled, when the cover is removed and we see him in praise and honor. 1 Peter 1:7. Amazing, all these are 1:7s. 1 Peter 1:7. "That the trial of your faith, the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." All of these things are being unlocked at the Apocalypsis Jesus Christu. We shall see. So now all of a sudden, these things are coming to life for us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, "For I neither received the gospel of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." How was he taught? God, this gift, rode back. Jesus appeared unto Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him and he unveiled himself before Saul and taught him the truth. And that's what we are to live by. And that's what we are to die by. And so therefore, what we have here is the Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It's not a communicated message about him, concerning him, but it is the actual presentation of him. And when we see this presentation, we ourselves will see it. Now, who is the giver? Who is the giver of the gift? As we read in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. What's the background behind this gift? Well, if you look, you will see the humility of Christ is rewarded. Because Jesus humbled himself and suffered for our sins, God coveted and declared him to be exalted Savior above all principalities, above all powers, above all authorities. When you look into the hands of Jesus and you see the scars, when you see his side, you will see the humility of Christ. And God says, "Here's an earnest of your gift." And then an earnest of glory is declared. We see how this unveiling is that God has given to Christ a precious reward, a part of the reward we've already seen. But wait a minute. The earnest of the glory will be revealed at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Back up. Capture this. Think about it. One, where did we see the glory of God? We saw the glory of God coming upon Christ Jesus at his baptism. Where did we see the glory of God? We saw the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we heard the voice of God that said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And we saw the glory of God as Jesus paid for the sins of the world and he was buried in the grave and the glory of God resurrected him. And he's alive today. That was only an earnest, only a down payment, only the beginning of the glory. And now the Father says, "Son, here's a gift. I want you to see how it's all coming about. Here it is, Son. I give to you this gift. It's as though it was like the Roman emperor when they would go off and they would conquer Pompeii or one of the great generals, and they would come back and they would ride through the streets and all of the people would be yelling for him, and they had this great parade. They were celebrating the great military victories won by these great military leaders. Folks, that's nothing like what's going to be compared. When Jesus Christ, when he rides back in from the heavens, riding the white horse, Jude said, we read last week, with 10,000s of 1,000s of his saints, Rome can't even imagine the glory. And now my Father says, Son, here's your gift. Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped, to be equal with God, but poured himself out and was made in the likeness of a servant. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even to the death of the cross. And Christ went down and down and down and down and down until he was buried in the earth. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, both things in heaven, the devil and his angels, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he offers him this gift. Christ, his coronation, the giver of this gift. Now, what is the content of the gift? The scripture says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. It's a clear purpose in the book. This is an open book. This is a book that, if you remember Daniel and the writings of Daniel, when he was reading about the end times, the Lord God said to Daniel, Daniel, close up the book until such a time into the future. But now, the Father is given this gift, the Son, and he's given it, the content is shown to the servants, those things which must shortly come to pass. And the good news is, folks, God's in control. Isn't that neat? The Holy Trinity never meets for an emergency situation. Never! Never! He's in control. I sometimes feel like, though, we're the man who used to call at noon every day. He worked in a mill, worked in a factory, and he'd call the operator and say, operator, what time is it? And the operator would say, it's 12 o'clock. And the man would blow the whistle, woo, and he would do this every day. Till one day, the operator, she said to the mill operator, said, sir, why do you call me at 12 o'clock? And he says, well, I run a mill, and I want to be right on time, so I call you for 12 o'clock. And the operator said, well, when I hear your whistle blow, I set my clock. Isn't that kind of the way we are? Seem like human beings just kind of run around in circles with a round robin? But that's not the way it is with God. God is spiraling up, and he's leading us up until that day in which he will say, son, go bring your bride home. And it's coming. Now, how was this gift communicated? The scripture says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified it by his angel. Now, how does it come to us, that word signify? Sometimes, if you're from New Hope, you can say things the way you want to say things. I graduated from New Hope, so therefore I can break up this word any way I want to. And in this word, I broke it up and I said, signified. How do you spell it? Yes, take a look at the eyes in there. If you broke it up, do you see that sign in there? Signified. Well, that's the way we do it, New Hope. Well, I don't know if y'all do it that way anymore. Y'all are probably more educated now. Sorry, guys. That's the way it used to be. But anyhow, what did the angel say? Signified. That's what God's telling us. And he sent his angel to signify. That is, this angel is going to speak in such a way in which John is going to be able to understand. Now, how does he do this? How does he show him these great dragons? How does he show him these kingdoms of the world? How does he show him the great whore? How does he do all of these things? Well, he does it with signs. And I can't tell you. I don't know exactly how he did it. But I do know that he did it in the same fashion that when our Lord Jesus was out in the wilderness, in the wilderness of temptation, the Bible says that Satan took him to the high pinnacle of the temple and said, jump off. How did he do that? I don't know. But I do know he did. We have record of our Lord Jesus. I do know that Satan showed the Lord Jesus the glory of the world and said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this glory. How did he do that? I don't know. But I know that he did. In the same light, God the Father gave a gift to the Son, and he revealed this gift unto John by angels. He signified. Now, sometimes when you're reading the Revelation, some things will jump out at you. Sometimes it will even interpret itself. For instance, we will see there are symbols in here. And as he sent these symbols portray things that are seen and unseen, things that are corporal and incorporeal, things that are in this world and things that are out of this world in the world to come. It portrays angels and demons and powers and principalities. Sometimes these symbols will be a person. For instance, in the first chapter, you will see a picture of the Lord Jesus. And coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, there will be a sharp two-edged sword. No man has a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. So what is that? That is a symbol of something. We will see that the Antichrist, a symbol of the Antichrist will be that of the beast. And sometimes symbols are things. There will be the meaning of the Babylons, of the cities of Babylon. Sometimes it will be symbols of a movement, such as in chapter 17, we will see the development and the course of the Romanish religion. And these will have meanings. But sometimes many of the meanings are explained within the text itself. For instance, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, the mystery of the seven stars which sawest thou in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. These seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So you will see how we study through this, that many times the Scripture will interpret the Scripture right there before your eyes. But sometimes you will have to go into the Old Testament and you will have to pick out pictures or symbols as they relate to the Old Testament. For example, in the fifth chapter of the Revelation, the Bible says, and I beheld and lo in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. What does this mean? Well, when you read that phrase, stood as a lamb that had been slain, the word slain is the word spitzo. The word spitzo means sacrificial knife. The sacrificial knife was used in the Old Testament to sacrifice the lamb. It was offered unto God. And so therefore, the lamb that was offered unto God is understood right here as the sacrificial lamb. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. So you will take these pictures and they will be meanings so that you might understand. And who's the bearer of the gift? Who's this bearer? The Bible says in the last few words, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John's a wonderful man. You remember John? John is the beloved. John is the disciple that the Lord loved. John is the one that was standing there at the cross, and Jesus said, "Behold your mother." He gave authority, control for his mother. "Take care of mom," he said. It was John who wrote the first, the second, third John. It's John who wrote the Gospel of John. It is John who went to the Isle of Patmos because he was preaching the gospel in the city of Ephesus. It was John in whom was on exile during the days of Domitian, the evil Roman Empire, emperor. It is John now who the angel comes to him and says, "Look, here is the gift of God, and I want you to see it." And he saw it, and he wrote it down. Two books in the Bible that Satan hates. The first book is Genesis. And the second book is the Revelation. And because Satan hates this, that's the reason today there's such a battle over the creation of the world. You see, if you discard the creation of the world, then you discard the book of Genesis. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to destroy the credibility of the book of Genesis. The second book Satan hates is the Revelation. Because you see, Satan cannot see into the future. And Satan believes that he is going to have victory. But in the Revelation, he sees otherwise. So, why are these two books so hated? Why? Genesis, Satan's doom is prophesied. In Revelation, his doom is realized. Genesis is the beginning. Revelation is the consummation. Genesis gives us the creation of the heaven and the earth. Revelation gives us the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. Genesis shows us the earthly paradise, the tree of life, the river of life, lost through sin. Revelation gives us the paradise of God with the tree of life, pure river of water proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Genesis, we see the first man and his wife set over all God's creation. Revelation, we behold the second man and his bride ruling over a redeemed world. Genesis, we see the beginning of death. Revelation, we see no more death. Genesis, we see the curse of man. Revelation, we see the curse removed. Genesis, we see the first Adam fall into sin. Revelation, we see the last Adam in glory. Genesis, we see Satan for the first time. Revelation, we see Satan for the last time. Genesis, we are told of the first typical sacrificial lamb. Revelation, the lamb once slain is in the midst of the throne. Genesis, we learn of the beginning of sin while the serpent beguiled Adam and Eve. Revelation, that old serpent called the devil and Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Genesis, we have the first murder, the first polygamist, the first rebel, the first drunkard, etc. Revelation, all such who refuse to accept God's grace in Christ Jesus are banished forever. Genesis, we view the rise of Babylon. Revelation, we are called to contemplate its doom. Genesis, we see man's city. Revelation, we see the city of God. Genesis shows us how to experience sorrow, death, pain, and tears in the inevitable of sin and rebellion. Revelation does not close until we have seen God wiping away all tears and welcoming His redeemed into a home where sin, death, pain and sorrow never shall come again. That's God. That's the reason we celebrate. We're looking not for something to happen. We're looking for someone to come. And that's the reason we're talking about God's gift. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to meet Him in the air? If the rapture occurred today, would you be left behind? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you been born again? Have you received the gift of Christ, which is grace, the gift of God and become a child? All that gift is offered to you today, even as the gift was given Christ in the Revelation. Father, you've given to us a picture. You've given to us a book. You've given to us the gift that you offered to your Son, Jesus. And because of this, Lord, we can experience the grace of God, the glory of God, the magnitude that God has offered. Father, I pray for those who are not ready to go, they'll get ready right now. And I pray for those who are ready to go to stand up for what they believe in and be counted for the cause. God, may we rise today in authority, blessings, and honor. May we rise today proclaiming the gift to others. As we have received the gift, Lord, let us share it with others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning on the first hymn of the invitation,